T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Inside the Archives. I'm your host, Marty Rosenbaum, XRT's digital content producer and all things social media. Today is one of our favorite days of the year because we found out who will be playing Lollapalooza 2019. So before we get into that, I want to remind you that if you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to the Inside the Archives on iTunes. All you need to do is search the iTunes library for Inside the Archives. Leave us a rating and review, subscribe to the podcast, and find a full list of every single episode that we've released thus far. And if you haven't done so yet, you can follow me on Twitter at Marty Rosenbaum, and be sure to follow 93XRT on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all at 93XRT. It wouldn't be Lollapalooza if I didn't bring in Marty Leonards to the show. He's been the voice of Lollapalooza for a little over a decade at this time, ever since its triumphant return to Grant Park in 2005.
It's been quite a trip.
It's been a wild ride.
Going to Lollapalooza all these years and getting to be the correspondent on site. Boy, when we first started doing it in 2005, the festival was so much smaller than it is now. It was all contained just in Hutchinson Field. And there was a lot of bleed through with the stages. Pretty amazing, though, that Lollapalooza has grown the way that it has and has turned into what it is today, from its early days, its early pioneering days as a place to present all these alternative artists to now, showcasing some of the biggest artists in music across all different genres. Lollapalooza is now living up to the name Lollapalooza. It kind of is something bigger than we ever imagined it would be. So here we go today with the lineup and falling into place with a lot of the other festivals, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've seen, based off of the top acts, some crossover with Coachella's headliners. So why don't we get into the lineup a little bit, and I'll read through some of the big names that are familiar to XRT fans and then any music fans as well. You'll recognize a lot of the names on here. So we have Tame Impala, Ariana Grande, Childish Gambino, 21 Pilots, The Strokes, Flume, The Chainsmokers, J Balvin, Casey Musgraves, Lil Wayne, Hozier, Gary Clark Jr., Death Cab for Cutie, The Revivalists, Maggie Rogers, Jade Bird, Tenacious D, Slash, Janelle Monáe, Lil Wayne, Sharon Van Etten, Shaquille O'Neal, yes, that Shaquille O'Neal, Fits in the Tantrums, Mondo Cosmo, and Calpurnia, who is the band of Stranger Things actor Finn Wolfhard. Those are the biggest names that appear on the top tier of the lineup, and then also, as I mentioned, some bands that XRT listeners are familiar with from appearing over the years. So like you said, it is a Lollapalooza lineup in the sense that it's big, it's wide representing, and features some of the biggest names in music that'll be coming to Grant Park this summer. So Marty, I got to ask you, what was your initial reaction upon seeing the lineup?
Well, the speculation had been out there for a while, and we kind of knew that Ariana Grande was probably going to be part of the festival. We kind of knew that Childish Gambino possibly was going to be part of it, and they're both playing at Coachella, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so, we kind of knew that. The artists that you mentioned at the top are all the big stage artists, right? The headliners. That would be Ariana, Childish Gambino, 21 Pilots, and Tame Impala, which is cool. I mean, that's a big, big step up for them. They headlined at Pitchfork just last year, and that was a pretty amazing show to see at Union Park, so I'm sure it'll be much bigger, obviously, and louder and trippier than it had been in the past.
Yeah, it's got to beg the question, too. Is there new music from the band on the way? Like you said, they headlined Pitchfork last year without a new album, EP, or anything, really, right? And now they've stepped up to Lollapalooza as one of the top acts.
Well, last year, the story with Tame Impala playing at Pitchfork was that was going to be the last time that you'll see Tame Impala play that kind of show, because Kevin had been talking about how he was going to change the sound of the band and bring more more dance influences into it, try to make it like a psychedelic dance thing or wherever Hella was going to go from there. Maybe we'll find out this year, possibly playing some songs and some music that we don't even know yet.
Yeah.
You know, so that'll be kind of cool. But that was a great show last year at Pitchfork.
Yeah.
With Tame Impala. And Tame Impala has played Lollapalooza before.
Yeah, back in 2015 they appeared.
Yeah.
As one of the main stage bands.
Yeah, I think it was on the day, one of the days when they evacuated the park. Not the big, huge evacuation, but the smaller evacuation.
That's right. That's right. When he stopped by our tent, I remember that day, and was very nice, very humble, talking about his influences for that record at the time. He's cruising around listening to the B-52s, and that's how he came up with it.
Well, the cool thing with Tame Impala is that he makes that music pretty much by himself in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know whether he makes it to take it out to a big stage or not, because he, you know, it's such an insular thing for him. But I don't know. We shall see. We shall see. And some of the other artists who you hear on XRT who will be playing the festival this year, many of them are returners. Now, the Strokes headlining, they don't have any new music, do they?
Not that I'm aware
of. The Strokes. They have it in their individual careers. But
yeah. I've
not
seen
as
talks
the
as a new album, but that has been persistent for the past couple of years now. So I think it's entering that Chinese democracy phase where it's out there, but there aren't really fine details about it.
The Strokes have not played a show other than a Lollapalooza show for quite a while.
Yeah.
They played in Chile. They played in Brazil. Their last three concerts, their last three shows have been at Lollapalooza's. And the last time they were in Chicago was 9 years ago. That was in 2010.
Wow. And that was Lollapalooza as well, right?
That was Lollapalooza, yeah. So, and then they had played in Chicago four times previously in 2006. They did shows around town, but the last big show. So it begs the question, if they don't have new music, they're kind of like just doing their greatest hits, right?
I would think so. It seems like this year's lineup, the Strokes may fit the bill as the legacy act, even though they're not, may not be associated as a legacy act, but they have been around for, you know, two plus decades at this point.
Right.
And there aren't any other headliners that would fit the bill as a legacy act. You know, like in years past, we've had Paul McCartney, who else is there? Foo Fighters, Pearl Jam, other bands that aren't touring behind new albums, but will draw a crowd regardless. So I'm wondering if that's going to be the Strokes this year.
Well, even that slot that goes to a legacy artist that's not a headliner, that in the past had been, Lou Reed or Iggy Pop, or Big Audio Dynamite, you know, there isn't an artist like that either, right?
I did not come across one, no.
Unless Farrell fits that bill.
Perry Farrell, that's right. We forgot to mention him earlier on. The only other artist I could think of would be Slash.
Oh, right, Slash.
But he has a new album coming out, and I would imagine it'd be focused on that type of music. Maybe a couple Guns N' Roses songs, but...
Well, his new album, from what I've heard, is more like a Black Crowes-ish kind of thing, kind of a rootsy blues record. And I'm not sure if I know the band that he's playing with at Lollapalooza, Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators. Do you know?
I'm not familiar
with
that,
that's who he's performing with, or who are performing with him. Tenacious D would maybe fill that bill.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This is the first time they played Lollapalooza, right?
You know, a funny story, I saw Kyle Gass at the festival, back in 2009.
Just hanging out?
Just hanging out, and totally inconspicuous, too, the rest of the crowd. And someone I was with was like, that's Kyle Gass from Tenacious D. And lo and behold, we look over, it was Kyle Gass of Tenacious D. Really nice guy, came up, shook his hand, made small talk. And,
that's funny.
I'm not a huge, you know, I'm not familiar with a lot of Tenacious D's work, but obviously they have the namesake with Jack Black being in the band, so that'll be exciting.
Right.
And, another one that I'm really excited for, just from a pure spectacle standpoint, is Shaq. Apparently he DJs a lot, and I'd have to imagine he'll be at the Perry stage.
Is that DJ. What he's doing in the Perry stage?
I think so.
But he had hip-hop records, didn't he?
Yeah, back when Kazam came out. Shaq Fu, was that the name of it?
Yeah.
Back in the 90s.
Wow.
So, that'll be fun. Maybe we can convince him to come
back. Well, you could say he's the biggest artist at the festival.
Literally.
Largest, tallest. The Perry thing, this is what he was supposed to do last year, the Kind Heaven Orchestra.
Yeah.
It's the music from that show that I guess he's opening this year in Las Vegas. But I like the way that it was described. The band is the musical scene setter for the immersive entertainment destination. If that doesn't get you running to the front of the stage, I don't know what will. But you know, but he's got a great band. He's got Matt Chamberlain from Soundgarden playing drums.
Oh, yeah.
And also the Jane's Addiction's bassist, Chris Chaney, is part of it as well. So
a lot of musical talent in that band.
And if Perry is playing, that means he'll be around, which means there's a pretty good chance that he will stop by our interview booth and maybe even bring his dog.
Again.
Like he did a few years ago.
Is he the artist you've spoken to the most at Lollapalooza?
Oh yeah, well yeah, pretty much every year. I don't. We didn't speak with him last year.
No, I don't remember
for some reason.
Him.
He came by, he said hi. He said he was coming back, and that was the last I saw of him.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty much. And you know, we used to do interviews with him before the festival, like in something like what we're doing right now,
right?
Where I would just chat with him about the lineup,
right?
So. Yeah, Perry is the obviously the godfather of the whole thing. And, you know, when we're talking about legacy acts playing at the festival, as long as we're mentioning Perry Farrell, wouldn't it be cool if they had a Lollapalooza original stage?
Like
a stage that would be only Lollapalooza artists who played the festival before it came to Chicago, when it was the touring festival. Some of those bands that are still around to play that stage. That would be kind of fun.
It
makes me think of that because I just got something in the mail the other day that L7 has reformed and they're touring and they have a new record coming out. So to put together, 4 days of artists who play the original Lollapalooza would be kind of cool. I said, I don't know how many of those artists are still doing music or touring around, but
that'd be a really cool idea for two reasons, because you have two separate generations of the festival.
Yeah.
So you're stretching back almost 30 years at this point where you can pull people from Lollapalooza's traveling days.
Mm-hmm.
But this is also the 14th year that it's been in Grant Park. And there's a whole new generation of concert goers that have only been exposed to that Lollapalooza, that type of festival. And I think certainly you could pull some acts that appeared on the early iterations of the Grant Park Festival that would be perfect for that.
Sure. But I like the original stage. I mean, you could have Pearl Jam could play that stage.
Yeah.
Obviously, they would headline. But, I mean, they have Ministry.
Fishbone.
You could have Fishbone. Yeah. You could have Ice-T. You could have, I don't know.
Living Color.
Susie and the Banshees.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It'd be fun.
Let's work on that.
We have that going.
Yeah.
Next year.
Next year.
If if it doesn't happen, you know who to blame.
But that would be
fun. At us.
But a lot of the artists, who are playing the festival are artists we play all the time here on XRT. I mean, Death Cab for Cutie is a fairly big artist. They're not headlining, but they're just underneath the headlining status. And, historically speaking, going back to 2005, they played the first Lollapalooza in Grant Park. In fact, they played for the first 2 years.
Right.
And then they they became a little, I don't know why, they never came back, but back now.
It took some time between records, too, so I have to imagine played a factor.
That's true. And then you've got, artists who have released records this year that are doing quite well, like Hozier, who has played the festival before. In fact, when he played last time, it was before or just at the same time when Take Me to Church was released as a single.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's coming back as a triumphant artist who has released a few records and has a much larger following. He played like 1 o'clock in the afternoon on day one.
Yeah.
Because he was the first person we spoke to that year.
Right.
Okay. And when he came back to where we were, he didn't have the proper credentials and he couldn't get into the interview tent that we had. We were away from the media area then. And he didn't have the proper credentials. They didn't believe that he was an artist. I'm like, come on, look how tall he is.
Yeah.
He's got to be somebody. So he came back. And also, some of our favorite artists like Sharon Van Etten, for example. She played the festival in 2012, and she's coming back, presumably on a bigger stage with that great new record, Remind Me Tomorrow, that she's released this year. And Gary Clark Jr. is a veteran of Lollapalooza, just playing two shows at the Chicago Theater just last weekend. And the Revivalists, who are playing at the Tivoli Theater, a Tivoli Theater concert.
Yeah, this coming Monday.
If you're listening
to this prior to March 25th,
mm-hmm.
we're excited to see you out at Downers Grove. If you're listening to this post-March 25th, what a great show that was. So you can catch him at Lollapalooza if you missed him.
And Maggie Rogers is having quite a year as well.
She is.
Her record is doing quite well, and she's coming back to Lollapalooza for the second time. She was there 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
but now she's coming back as Maggie Rogers,
right.
And not just as Maggie Rogers,
right.
This new artist. So I don't know. It's going to be a lot of fun out there as always. And also here's an answer to the question, what have Fits in the Tantrums been up to? Well, they're going to be at Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
So, because we haven't heard from them.
They just released a new song today,
March
20th.
So perfect.
I have to imagine an album or some type of new music compilation will be on the works from them.
Mm-hmm.
So we've covered the headliners and the larger name acts of the festival. One of my favorite components of Lollapalooza is finding a great band who performs in that afternoon slot, a la the Hozier at 1 p.m. when you don't have much exposure to them. Maybe a friend recommended to you or you've just been seeing them on the internet. It's, hey, you got to check this band out. Who are some of those bands upon your first look at the 2019 lineup that you would recommend people go see that would be playing earlier on in the day?
Boy, I'm not really sure because many of those artists, at this point, I don't know them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say, for example, a few years ago, Mondo Cosmo, who's coming back this year. When we saw the lineup, we didn't know who Mondo Cosmo was, right? But in the ensuing months, released a record. And it was really cool. And then came up to the radio station. We got to meet him. And when he did play at Lolla, boom, you know, we were ready for that. And we were kind of excited. But I don't know. I don't know. Maybe, well, here's a band that we just started playing on the radio station, Houses, a West Coast band who has a song that we've been playing. Houses is on the festival. When you see that, you think, oh, my God, that must be like a DJ, right? But it's not. So keep in mind to see Houses and keep your ears peeled for them here on XRT. It's also great that Francis and the Lights are playing at the festival this year. We saw them at Pitchfork, part of the Chance the Rapper world.
Right.
And there are a lot of local artists, Chicago artists, who are playing the festival as well. You got to check them out. So there's a band from England called Idols that I'm sure Jason has been playing on the Big Beat. And they're a powerhouse band by all reports.
Mm-hmm.
And, they might be worth checking out. Also, someone like Mitski, who has gotten a lot of attention, but has never played a festival or played in front of people to the extent that they will at Lollapalooza.
Right.
Japanese Breakfast is another indie band. But it's really light on rock bands.
Yeah.
It's not... It's not a big rock festival, like we said at the front. It's a festival that takes in all different kinds of music and pop music and really popular music.
Exactly.
You know, and it's been going that way on the main stages since Lady Gaga headlined.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's still exciting to see the smaller print bands like Houses or Idols that you mm-hmm. mentioned, who I'm not familiar with at this point. But you have a little under five months to familiarize yourself with those artists.
Well, here's the thing. Lollapalooza released a tease a couple days ago that they did in partnership with Paws, the shelter where you can purchase dogs and cats or adopt dogs and cats. And it was kind of cute because they had like all these balloons set up, and then they would bring out dogs who were available for adoption, and the dogs would kind of push these balloons away, and they would give like three fun facts about the artist. And then the picture would be revealed. And most of the artists that were part of that, I didn't know, but their resumes were like incredible. Like they produced this and this and that, and they were did a collaboration with this artist, you know. And it was mainly like in R&B and hip hop worlds. So you know, do your homework if you are going to Lollapalooza, because there's 170 artists playing. How could anyone know every single artist?
Yeah.
You know, I'm surprised that the person who books the festival knows all 170 artists.
Right.
You know? So I don't know. That's what makes Lollapalooza fun. If you go there for a full day, just wandering around and checking out stuff that you never in a million years thought that you would either see or like.
And with a fourth day, it's important to remind all of our listeners once again, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
True.
It's It's a long, long day.
So are there any artists, bands that you thought would be playing the festival that are not?
Yeah, there's a couple. Now, in my spare time, I love rumor mongering. I try to avoid it because it's kind of silly, but due to the speculative nature of it, there were a couple of logical choices, I thought. The main ones were the Raconteurs, mm-hmm. the Head and the Heart, and Weezer. I think all three of those bands, A, would be perfect for the Lollapalooza demographic. It fits a wide bill of musical interests and, you know, age groups. And they can also command a crowd as well. And on top of that, all three of them are going to be releasing albums this year. So it was a bit surprising to see the omission of those artists.
Yeah, they haven't announced the Head and the Heart tour yet, have they?
Not that I'm aware of. They may have like a string of shows, but not a full-fledged tour.
Right, right. And who knows what the Raconteurs have planned.
Yeah,
they haven't even announced the, they say they finished the album, but they haven't announced when that record is going to be released.
Right. And Weezer, I mean, they have, thanks to their cover of Toto, have become incredibly popular once again. And mm-hmm. they had a cover album that was released a few weeks ago. They had a new album, I think, that was released March 1st of original material. And supposedly they have another album or two that are on the way this year. And I think with the their popularity and upcoming new music, it's a surprise not to see them there.
Right. You know what another cool stage would be, besides the Lollapalooza gold stage? A WTF stage.
Where? What's that?
Toto would play there. Yeah. Because you mentioned Toto. I'm like, wouldn't that be wild to see Toto?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be wild to see, I don't know, just start naming bands.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Duran Duran.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Milli Vanilli.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Holograms of other artists as well.
Yeah.
Just a weird, weird sideshow act.
On the WTF stage. Just the sideshow stage.
We got our work cut out for Marty, for us, Marty.
This is our own festival.
Yeah. I don't think we should put too many ideas to the forefront because that's just going to add on to our plate.
Right. But right. We're doing this festival at Horner Park.
in unnamed date and time in the future.
Yes, yes.
Stay tuned. It'll be exciting.
Yeah.
But no, it's an interesting question because I think a few years ago when you were interviewing the Charlies of C3, they mentioned that they don't just work on the Lollapalooza that's coming up immediately after this festival. They work on booking it, you know, even 2-3 years down the line,
right,
seeing which artists they can secure. And I have to imagine that a big part of it is what artists are going to be touring behind new albums. So mm-hmm. I'll throw the question right back at you. What are some artists that you expected to be on there that you're surprised not to see, or maybe artists that you'd like to see in the near future?
Well, one of the bands you mentioned, the Head and the Heart, I'm kind of surprised that they're not part of it. I'm surprised that I'm surprised maybe Foo Fighters is not on the lineup. I'm surprised that Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats aren't part of it. I don't think they've played Lollapalooza, have they?
I think they were there. They may have been there last year in 2017, but they've only been once.
But the thing is that a lot of the bands that you would expect to play a festival like Lollapalooza are doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Beck has never played the Lollapalooza in Grant Park, which I've always found really surprising. And every year at the end, someone will say, hey, who do you think is going to play your next year? And I usually say, I don't know, maybe Beck.
Yeah.
But, you know, Beck's doing his own thing with Cage the Elephant. Cage the Elephant has played Lollapalooza, I think, more than anyone. They've played that festival at least 6 times, going all the way back to before they had a record. They were on the Lollapalooza lineup, you know, so that they're doing their own thing is... Yeah, that's what they're doing. And also the Black Keys. The Black Keys are one of Lollapalooza's. They've played Lollapalooza almost as many times as Cage the Elephant. Dan Auerbach has, certainly, in various solo projects. And so who knows? Those are all kinds of surprises. But in the National, you know, they played last year. But there's so many shows happening at Huntington Bank Pavilion that you would think would work great at Lollapalooza, but you know, they're doing their own thing, which is good for everybody because everyone gets to go.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the plus side of this too is you just gave us a bunch of great bands that we can book on our Lollapalooza veteran stage.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
Well, you know, it's a lot. Lineup day is always fun because we finally have information. We finally know who's going to play, and it gives you something to look forward to over the next couple of months before August 1st comes and we are at Grant Park once again. Now, as we're recording this podcast, four-day general admission, general admission plus, VIP, and platinum tickets are all on sale. We don't have any information regarding single-day passes when those are going to go on sale, but we'll be sure to pass along that info as soon as we find it out. And another great part about Lollapalooza is the after shows.
I know. Oh, we have those to look forward to.
Yeah, that's always
Oh, there's new speculation. Who will be playing the after shows?
Ooh, new podcast
out of these
material.
Artists that we've talked about.
Yeah.
You know, who knows?
Like we've seen the past couple of years, there's artists that will do Lollapalooza after shows that aren't playing Lollapalooza.
Now they just come in.
Foo Fighters. They come in and just do that. So it'll be cool to see if anybody does that.
I would say that Tame Impala will do an after show. I don't know. Well, Death Cab for Cutie might do an after show.
We'll mark it down and then look
I shouldn't
back
be speculating
a couple months
about
from
this.
Now and
people,
see if you're right.
People will say, Marty said. Okay. We'll do that.
Yeah. But there's tons of information still to come on the festival, but momentum is starting to gather. The engines have been rolled on and the train is leaving the station. And if you want to stay up to date on the latest Lollapalooza news, be sure to follow 93XRT on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at 93XRT and visit our website, 93XRT.com/Lollapalooza. If you want to check back on some of the past footage that we recorded of Lollapalooza interviews, sets, single performances, all you need to do is just check out 93XRT.com/Lollapalooza and get primed for one of the best weekends of the year.
Yep. And you know why you can do all that stuff at 93XRT.com? You know why?
Why's that?
Because XRT is your Lollapalooza station.
Boom. Now, Marty, thank you for hopping on the podcast today.
You
and
bet.
Giving your initial thoughts and looking forward to spending the weekend with you again.
As always, Marty.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.